Henry Rain Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM. And normally we would be filling out the rest of the hour with your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, blockchain, cryptocurrency news. But we're shifting gears a little bit this Monday to talk about local politics and, in particular, the Manatee County Commission and a candidate that I've known, oh, I guess it goes back about 17 years now is when I first met him. First time I met Joe Kane probably was in right after the first of the year in 2003. If you remember that far back, if you were around that far back, March of 2003 was when the Bush administration, with the approval of Congress, invaded Iraq, but there was quite a bit of opposition on the ground, especially here locally in Tampa Bay. And I had organized some activities in opposition to the Iraq invasion by that time. And I heard about a march over a bridge, Cortez Bridge to be in particular, and I drove out there. It was a rainy day, not conducive to that, but there was a gentleman that was making the walk across the Cortez Bridge anyway, and I came to know him, and his name is Joe Kane. He became the inspiration for the much bigger march that happened the weekend before the invasion of Iraq across the Manatee River. 700 people spanned the Green Bridge across Manatee River that day. And now I understand that he's getting ready to throw his hat in the ring. I guess the hat's already been thrown. Joe Kane, are you there on the line?
I am, Henry. Okay. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, well, it's good to talk to you. In the studio with me is Andy. He is the founder of Green Bridge Investing and half of the Talking Market Show. But he is an interested news junkie and a resident of Manatee County.
Good afternoon, sir.
So, Joe, you are running for District 3 Manatee County Commission, which is basically West Bradenton. And do you know where that stops? I know it's definitely northwest Bradenton. It's all the areas around Manatee Avenue. Is it Cortez or any of the...
Yes, it is Cortez, too. Because that... really stimulated the few scrappy veterans that are still around after, you know, fighting FDOT was, you know, the idea that we could have an influence over the say of the FDOT.
Okay, well, let's let people who are listening know. You mean the Florida Department of Transportation, FDOT?
That's it.
Okay, all right.
So that was the motivation of it. And we fought them and won 40 years ago, and now we're back. They're back again, peddling what they peddle. They're in the boat. They're in the bridge building. They're in the road building. We can understand all that, but we don't understand is why they are so autocratic and so opaque.
Okay. Let me back this up a little bit because this signal spans all around Tampa Bay. So for people that are familiar with Manatee County, and if you aren't familiar with Manatee County, there are, like many counties around the state of Florida, there are barrier islands off the mainland, and that's where people go for beaches and resorts, etc. Before you get to the barrier islands, you need a bridge to take you over to the barrier island. And here in Bradenton, you have a Manatee Avenue, which is State Road 64, which is the northern entrance to the barrier island. And then you have Cortez Road with its bridge, which is the southern entrance to the barrier island that goes over into Holmes and Bradenton Beach area. And Longboat Key, you would also use it to get to Longboat Key if you're familiar with that. Now, before we go any further, let me just redefine your District 3. How far does it go to the east? Is it like 34th Street, 26th Street? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. But most of Bradenton. And so now... Cortez Village is right, a community that's right adjacent to the Intercoastal Waterway there at the base of the current Cortez Bridge. It's a historic community, a fishing community, a lot of heritage and a lot of tight community there. What would you add to that? Why is the bridge becoming an issue for the people there and for people in general?
Well, actually, it's not becoming. It's been an issue with us for 40 years, because we realize that when you're opposing the establishment, because FDOT, for instance, follow the money. FDOT gets 10% of the of our money from the state. They so they they're over $10 billion they get from us, and so but the, what we're put out by them is their indifference to the public. They are like monks. They make these create these monstrosities in the air, without any really consultation from the residents, and they do it. Now, if you really don't believe me, believe your eyes and go down Cortez Road just before you get to the bridge now, and there is such a mess, and that's the way it's going to be for the next 10 years. They're going to try to put this thing through. It'll take, it's a really a 10-year program, and it's really a nightmare for the it's the death knell for the village of Cortez.
Why? What are they trying to do?
Yeah. What is the bridge they're proposing?
A 65-foot, $70 million bridge, and that's what. And in a totally unnecessary because structurally it's still sound. It would be as if there were a bunch of drunken sailors creating this bridge without any regard, for the public's money. They just do it.
Let me be the devil's advocate, Joe. Now for it's going to be a non-drawbridge bridge. That is one of the big selling points from
like
the
they did in Sarasota.
Like the Ringling Bridge.
The Ringling Bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're saying, you know, it's going to alleviate traffic problems because you won't have to have the bridge raised anymore. And anybody that's tried to get out there in season, it backs way up for miles. So why isn't that a good idea?
Because it's a distraction from the real issue. You can make an entrance to the bridge as wide as you want to make it, and they're widening this now, so they're making it. But it's all going to end up in a funnel. It's all going to end up in the same square inches and yards of the bridge, regardless of all the fancy talk and all that. That's what it is. And so, but why are they doing it? Because they're in the bridge building business. I understand it. That's their profession.
So
they're
so
like monks.
So what you're saying is, once you get over the bridge and you get to the end, Cortez, you either make a left or a right on golf.
Presumptuous and say that you're going to get over the bridge. That's when we were always, when we were fighting it 35 years ago, we would say all these people, our friend was traffic. They was our biggest support, and when they would come in on Saturday and Sunday, and there'd be the roads, you inch past. Through Cortez, that's when we would make our pitch. That was when we have older people. We have the residents of Cortez there, and we won then.
Yeah,
you know, we won then, and we're going to win this. I firmly believe.
Yeah, and once you get over that bridge, you got to make a left or a right, and it's a single lane highway. So you're either going to Anna Maria or you're going to Longboat Key. So it's pretty much like you said, a bottleneck. Okay, I can understand that. So. If you increase the traffic over the bridge, you still have that bottleneck there once you get there, and you got Bridge Street
and
all that. And
what about the drawbridge aspect of it, alleviating that? Because you don't even get to the bridge where the drawbridge is up, and it's backed up for miles.
And the drawbridge is more of a red herring. It's not that big of a problem. We have people that are involved in this that have big boats and big masts and all that. That's not a complaint. They're not thinking this is a big sacrifice we're going to lose by this. So that's not really an issue. The issue is that they're creating this concept, and they're cramming it through down through the bridge and going through the bridge. And then when they land on the barrier island, Bradenton Beach, that intersection is a mess now. And I just don't see how they're going to. They're going to be able to resolve that issue.
I know it's come up before, and they wanted to do the one over Manatee Avenue over to Anna Maria Island, and, that,
right.
And they got shot that down.
Yep. Yeah, they got that one shot. You know, that was the second one. We went through and got the first one was Cortez Bridge. That was our first target. And we used the old rule, the old playbook, and which is basically we knew that not one commissioner was in favor. They were all, excuse me, let me put it in the right form. They were all in favor of the new bridge, every one of the commissioners. And we knew if we were going to win, we had to change that. And it was surprisingly, it didn't take us that long. They got so much pressure from the residents and from the voters. We got it. We got to change it. We're going to do it this time, too.
Now, what do the people want? I mean, that's the important thing. What do the people want at Cortez Villa, you know, Cortez Village, and, of course, the people in Bradenton?
And all of Manatee County.
In Manatee County. Yeah, that's right, because everyone uses the same, you know. What do the people want? I mean, to me, I'm in construction, so I like construction aspect of things, but I kind of like the heritage and the historic kind of looks of,
Cortez.
It's got that, there's a different feel. Like, if you go to Clearwater or you go to Sarasota and you go out to the, it has that commercially feel. I like the feel that Anna Maria and Holmes Beach and in that house.
So we'll give you that, what Andy just said, because he stated it well. But why? What is your connection to Cortez, Joe?
Well, I've been here for, I'd say, over 20 years. And before that, I lived on the island. And I thought I was going to die on the island. I moved from Chicago 50 years ago. I was a school teacher up there.
Okay.
And, so I knew I was going to die on the island. I loved it. And we had a beach house. It was paradise. And living off of fresh air, basically. But then the island changed. It became a destination rather than a community. And that changed, altered the whole island. And eventually we got this thing. And so now you have total no movement at all in cars, and they're just trying to cram more people. Now, in my harsher, more pessimistic mood, I would say it's called greed. That's all, because they all are getting richer and richer at the detriment of the island taste. So I moved. I moved to that at Cortez, and I never found a better place to live. It's a place lost in time.
It is.
Okay. Joe, there's we got to watch your time because there's a 6 o'clock show that comes on after
okay,
us.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No. You're fine. I'm just giving you plenty of notice so that we can get cover the ground. But, you know, that's an important issue, but a Manatee County Commissioner is going to have a whole lot of issues that come before them and before your term. That's, you know, there's 400,000 people in the county now. There's a lot of different interests. Why would you be a good county commissioner other than the bridge?
Oh, because the bridge is a metaphor. The bridge is a metaphor of the lifestyle of people in Florida, whether you're moving from Massachusetts or whether you're just a recent immigrant from New Jersey, wherever. But the Cortez, because of its classical, its indomitable will not to be beguiled by the music man con artist. And those are the biggest names, of course, everybody knows, Carlos Baruth and Pat Neal. They sing this song, and it always follows by a few rings of the dollar bill.
Pat, Joe, hang on just a second. I do want to let people know we have about 5 minutes that we could take phone calls if you want to speak to Joe Kane. He's the County Commission, Manatee County Commission candidate, District 3. You can call on 941-745-1490, 941-745-1490. If you want to ask Joe a question, we'll get you right on. Joe, normally we don't take phone calls because of our normal topic matter, but if somebody happens to be listening, interested in the county commission. Now, you are a write-in candidate on the Republican, from within the Republican Party. Currently, there are two, conventional candidates in the Republican primary right now. There is Matt Bauer, and also there is Kevin Van Ostenbridge. What I want to explain to people is their names will appear on the primary ballot, and I did a little bit more research on this, Joe, after I talked to you to book you for this appointment. And your name, well, your name won't appear, but your write-in line won't appear until the general election. So there'll be a Republican primary with two candidates. One will win. They will go on to the general election, and then their name and a blank line will be on the ballot. So what do people have to do if they like what they hear from you and they want you to be their county commissioner?
Well, you've outlined it really well, Henry. It is just vote for me. It gives you an opportunity on the ballot to express your opinion.
So they're going to have to know your name going in. I mean, because they're not going to get any hint from the poll workers.
I understand that. Well, so, if they don't know me, they don't know me.
Well, do they get checked off if they misspell you? Do they have to be sure about the spelling or anything?
They're going to do every trick in the book. We're prepared for that.
Well, how is it registered? How does the name need to go on the ballot?
My name, Joe Kane.
Not Joseph, Joe.
Well, you know, there you go with the you forgot now. You forgot the middle initial. So it gets quite officious. Unnecessarily so. It's Joe Kane.
Okay. All right. So, and what is your campaign plan? Are people going to be out and around? Are you going to have any events or website or anything like that?
Well, everything's changing because of the virus, and so it'll be virtual, probably virtual meetings.
Okay. And what about you? Got a Facebook page or anything like that?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, it's still early. You got to, I don't know, August something is the general election is until November. So you're like the NASCAR driver that just sort of hang backs and drafts and waits till the end to do that swing around and cross the checkered flag area.
Thank you.
All right. Well, now I got to ask you a tough question, Joe.
Oh, good. I love tough questions.
Okay. Well, now there's a lot of independents. There's a lot of registered Democrats that live in District 3. And the way Florida law works in what was supposedly a 1998 reform about write-in candidates, they made a rule. Now, normally, let's say in a presidential election, you'd have a Republican primary and a Democratic primary. You never have to worry about any candidates. There's going to be Democratic candidates for president. There's going to be Republican candidates for president. The Democrats get the vote. The Republicans get the vote. Independents have to wait for the general election. But eventually they get a say once the parties have decided on their candidate. With local state of Florida elections, it's a little different. So, you know, there's going to be a Republican primary because there's two Republican candidates that have qualified. There are no Democratic candidates. There's no independent candidates. Now, if there were no write-in candidate, then Democrats and independents that lived in the district would be able to vote between the two qualified candidates. And by qualified, I mean they've jumped through the hoops to get their name on the ballot. I'm not saying they're more qualified than you, but they've their names are printed on the ballot. That's what qualified means. So as a resident, I won't get to choose my county commissioner unless at the end you can win with a write-in ballot. The independents won't get to choose their county commissioner in District 3 unless it's you and you win with a write-in ballot. If you weren't the write-in ballot candidate, though, Democrats and independents would vote and would at least get to pick between the two. So why is this important enough that really basically two-thirds of the people that live in District 3 won't get a say unless you really are convinced that you can write You can win in this county with a write-in candidate.
You're asking the wrong person. You ought to talk to people like Bill Galvano. Those people, all I'm doing is using the rules and regulations thereof of the election. It's rigged. We all know that. So how do you expedite? How do you get your agenda with a this is a really, I'll say it real nicely, it's a very conservative state. And so, the Chamber of Commerce prevails. And so we're always fighting, basically, when you want to know who your rival is basically say, now, where's the money? There's where you, of course, it's coming from Pat Neal and Carlos Baruch. I break all kinds of vows, I'm sure. People don't like to use their name, but that's it.
Okay. Now, you could, as an independent candidate, you could register and qualify with a payment of about $3,200, and that would get your name on the ballot for the general election and give you a fighting chance.
Why should I spend it when I don't have it?
Well, I will save that for another. This is your time to talk, so I don't want to talk over that.
Oh, no, I believe in lucidity, so that's it.
All right. Well, Joe, I'm glad that we got a chance to talk. How do you want people to find out more about your campaign?
Joe Kane right now I'm not going to be cute on that. I'm just going to wait because we're going to do a site, and I'd much rather wait until the site's name is found out, which is going to be just a matter of days. But you're on the ball, so you ask the question, so I'm trying to answer, which basically call me back and I'll tell you.
Okay. We'll definitely have to have him back on.
Joe, how many years young are you?
Pardon me?
How many years young are you?
I'm old. I'm 82 years old.
All right. Well, you still got a lot of fight in you.
So. How old are you?
I'm 63. I thought I was old.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Joe, again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Joe.
I appreciate it, Henry, and good luck to you.
All right. I'll be sure and send you the audio so you have it for your campaign.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
I'm against the bridge. I'm against the big bridge.
Well, and
that's my personal take on it. I like the.
Well, we got
to
get out of here.
Yeah, I know we do. I like how it is. There's no need to change. You're not going to flow any more traffic onto the island. So.
All right. Well, we will be back to normal next week with another Henry Raines show. And it was so good last time. We're going to play Financial Woman on the way out again.
My fiance, you know the fiance, finance, so tell us that you don't get money, that day you be your dream of me, seriously, buddy, go for it.